Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Blessed Tuesday to you, the first Tuesday in the month of August, the month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And of course, at the end of this week, August 5th is First Friday, and there are so many rich and beautiful Marian solemnities in the month of August too. Of course, the Feast of the Assumption on August 15th, and then 1 week after that on August 22nd, the Queenship of Mary. And that's one of my favorites because that happens to also be my birthday. So just a blessed month, and I'm so happy to be here with you. My name is Brooke Taylor. Welcome to the Cale Clark Show. In for Cale today. I'm so happy to join you today and tomorrow. And for a lot of people, August is also a really big month because it marks the back to school season. Many years ago, probably 10 years ago now, I wrote a back to school rosary meditation. It was a group of meditations to the joyful mysteries. And it really started just with a desire to want to cloak my own family in the graces of the rosary with specific intentions of spiritually preparing them for the unknowns of back to school in the year ahead and uniting our family to the Holy Family. And from that, I'm grateful to say, you know how the Holy Spirit just takes these things, that now the meditations are used in some parishes as part of their preparation for students to return to school and families too. And I think it's important, and I wanted to share that because so much planning this time of year goes into gathering the supplies, and we have so much paperwork to fill out, crafting the lesson plans if you are a homeschool parent or a teacher, purchasing new clothes, all that goes into that. But for the Christian, everything we do should be a practice of spiritual preparation as well. And whether that is a preschooler or a college student moving into the dorm for the first time, there are always unknowns with each new year. And that's excitement, the butterflies, the insecurity, the apprehension, the hope. And I think really that's just the parents. I know my husband and I feel that way. I can't imagine for my kids. We have five children, and there's also a dynamic in there of disability, of special needs. And so that's always our prayer that our daughter will be in the best hands with good aides and those who will protect and help and come alongside us as well. Will they fit in all of these things that we offer and pray? And we all need prayers from the teachers, to the coaches and custodians, the bus drivers, the pastors, and the school counselors. And that's why the Most Holy Rosary, I just love the opportunity to gather, to cling to our mother, to go forth in confidence with our fiat and trusting in the beauty of what will unfold. So just an invitation as you prepare for yourself or your grandchildren or all the dynamics of back to school to also prepare spiritually and in the Holy Rosary. And we hear that in the Visitation, in the Joyful Mysteries, in the book of Luke, for nothing is impossible with God. That's what the angel Gabriel says to Our Lady during the Annunciation. And for the next few days, while I'm in for Cale, we're going to build on that theme, for nothing is impossible with God. Today, Dr. Kevin Vost will kick us off his brand new book, You Are That Temple. It is upcoming, yet to be released, but we're going to talk about that. It's a Catholic guide to health and holiness. And going back to the idea of school, the academic pursuit, we know that success isn't necessarily marked by high perfect test scores and perfect grades, but in performing to the best of our ability for the glory of God and for living virtuously. And similarly with our bodies. So that's what we will build on with the theme that we know our outer man is wasting away, yet day by day we are being renewed. And if you are living and breathing, we know that God has a purpose, and we pray for the strength to be able to have the stamina and the energy to carry out that purpose. So Dr. Vost will give us a fantastic look at his new work about optimizing health and our earthly temples and our bodies to honor God. And then tomorrow, I want to mention this because this is important and just very honored to be able to welcome on the Cale Clark Show, Deborah Tice. Deborah will be here. You might know the Tice name. Well, 10 years ago, 2012, her son, Austin Tice, he's a freelance journalist, was detained in Syria. It's been a decade. And the U.S. State Department believes they do have reason to believe he is still alive. And it's hard to even fathom that a son, a brother, knowing he's being held, not knowing where, not knowing in what condition. So there is a sense of urgency, especially as we approach this 10-year mark of Austin Tice's detainment and abduction to bring him home. And his birthday is also coming up on August 11th. So tuck him in your prayers if you would. He grew up Catholic. He was an Eagle Scout. And his mom, Deborah, says she believes he is alive, that he has an incredible will to live and be free. So we will welcome Deborah to the program tomorrow and get the latest on what's going on, how to advocate, raise awareness, and how to pray for the Tice family. And again, it goes back to that theme, nothing is impossible with God. And also on tomorrow's show is pro-life scientist Dr. Patrick Castle. He'll be with us too. He's the founder of Life Runners, and it all ties together because Dr. Castle makes an appearance and shares a portion of his testimony in the book we're talking about today on the show. So as we get started with our guest, please feel free to reach out. The number here is 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. The theme, health, strength, fitness, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. To help us focus on that truth, the vision of how we might live that truth, is Dr. Kevin Vost, author of the soon-to-be-released book, You Are That Temple, A Catholic Guide to Health and Holiness. Dr. Vost is the author of 20 books, including Memorize the Faith, How to Think Like Aquinas. He has taught psychology at Aquinas College in Nashville, many others, and is a member of the Research Review Committee for American Mensa, which promotes the scientific study of human intelligence. So excited to welcome him to the program now. Hello, Dr. Vost.
Hello, Brooke. I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me on today.
It's exciting because there's so much to get through, and you just do a fantastic job of articulating it in the book. So I know it's going to come alive today. And really, I think a lot of people know you first for your work in the discipline of memory. Your book, Memorize the Faith, was a staple in our homeschool library this past year. So you helped my son memorize the Ten Commandments and the virtues and the seven deadly sins. But I know that you hear stories from all over how that has transformed people's ability to memorize.
Well, I do. Thank God. And I can thank St. Thomas Aquinas for that, because he's one of the main people I borrow from in that book, Memorize the Faith. And memory happened to be my specialty area when I studied psychology. It was the subject of my master's thesis, and my dissertation work and my doctoral work was with people with Alzheimer's and various forms of brain injury. So memory's always been dear to me. And having the chance to explain to Catholic audiences how these methods work, and to show Catholic audiences how they come to us from great saints like Thomas Aquinas and his great teacher, St. Albert the Great, well, it was a real joy for me.
And in you know, as much as you get the gray matter going, you're no slouch in the physical strength department too. I just saw there, I think it was on Facebook, this video of you where you were deadlifting, it was almost 400 pounds, and you're not 18. I mean, few of us are 18 anymore, but that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I did celebrate last year my 60th birthday. I deadlifted 410 pounds for 5 repetitions. So I've always loved weightlifting, and I've done it off and on since the early 1970s. So it's something I've been thankful to God. I've been able to maintain a pretty good level of strength over the years, but just by doing it, but not overdoing it, by trying to find just, you know, the right measure of stimulating the body without overwhelming it.
I think you do a really great job in this book about sharing your own transformation in your own life. And I want to get to that. We will talk about that, even how you have recorded most of your workout since 1982. I definitely want to ask about that and to get your formula for what's worked and what's helped you stay consistent. But I want to lay the foundation for this first, because you've got a lot of books, 20. This is not your first book on health, but why this one
Yeah, I have done some previous books. One was for a non-Catholic press called Full Range of Motive. I did a book called Fit for Eternal Life for Sophia Press, the publisher of this book. And with my friends, Shane Kapler and Peggy Bowes, and with some help from some other authors, we did a devotional called Attending the Temple. So the faith and fitness has always been an area of interest to me. You know, since I was raised Catholic, was away from the church for many years, when I came back in my early 40s, I was asked by an editor to write a book about the Catholic approach to proper care for the body. He said, you know, would you be willing to do that? I'm like, absolutely. But then I asked myself, well, what is the Catholic approach to the proper care of the body? So it led me to a great deal of study and research on so much wisdom of the Catholic Church that can shed light on actual nutrition and exercise, because the church has always taught that the bodies are good. And in fact, after the last judgment, we're all going to have we're going to be rejoined with our bodies, and those of us in heaven are going to have glorified bodies. So yeah, I've always been interested in the topic, but I wrote this most recent book, You Are That Temple, because over the years, my knowledge has grown a little bit, hopefully, and some of my opinions have changed, especially in regards to nutrition. So where my book Fit for Eternal Life is very heavy on exercise and dabbles in nutrition, this book is very heavy in nutrition, but also does address exercise, including some things I didn't know about when I wrote the last book. But also, this book is especially special to me because you already mentioned Dr. Pat Castle is one of 23 people who provided vignettes, you know, modern Catholics who tell their story, how taking care of their body has impacted their faith and fitness. So I wanted to make this book kind of better than my previous books, you know, the ones that kind of puts it all together. And at this point in my life, gives my understanding of the importance of caring for our bodies and how to do it, but then also drawing on this wisdom of all these other modern Catholics who also realize its importance.
And the research aspect is really important as you look at the pandemic of obesity and just diabetes and all of the things that we are struggling with. And you mentioned earlier about your credentials, a specialization in neuropsychology, psychology of the aging, but also a lifelong fitness enthusiast. And so you go through that, you go kind of a how-to book of sorts of how to glorify God in our bodies. And you are one of the best, I think, research scholars of the data, because it's really unmatched as far as growing health issues, diabetes, dementia. But then what sets your book apart, I think, from all the others on the shelves, is that you begin first with the spirit to ask the question of what extent sins such as gluttony and sloth may contribute to our health decline. And it is hard. As I was reading all of the information myself, I'm thinking, well, there's genetics, there's hormones, there's my own bad habits. And so it really gets us thinking first and foremost, and to make an examination of our conscience. There's injury. So that plays a part, where sometimes you just feel depleted and you don't feel like you can work through an injury. You start to gain weight, you don't feel good. But this aspect of the spirit is vital, because as we examine our conscience, we want to be able to see the things that are holding us back, that are weighing us down, literally. So you use a phrase in the book, virtues of fitness. Can you talk a little bit about how virtue plays in?
Sure. And I talk about three classes of virtues that are talked about within the church. And the first are the moral virtues, and the four most common are called cardinal virtues. They're like hinge virtues, especially important. And there's fortitude or courage, there's temperance or self-control, there's justice, and there's prudence or practical wisdom. So I try to show how they all relate to caring for our bodies. Fortitude, for example, is our ability to overcome obstacles or to endure hard things. So that kind of ties into strength training, where we try to overcome heavy weights, and endurance training, where we endure uncomfortable exercise, you know, that might last a long time. Temperance involves, you know, reining in our appetites, training ourselves to eat true foods and not, you know, overindulging. Justice is giving each person their rightful due. So in the context of this book, I say, well, let's give special groups their rightful due. So I look particularly at mothers, expectant mothers, at children and adolescents, the preborn, older people, women. And in this book, even I try to address some of the concerns of mentally and physically disabled people. And then finally, prudence or practical wisdom is kind of how we tie all this together to make a sensible dietary and nutritional program that fits in with our own lifestyles and doesn't draw us away from things of the spirit. Of course, I address the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Charity or love being the most important, of course, of them all. So ideally, our goal for doing all this is to show our love for God, to show our love for neighbor, and to not love our neighbor as ourself. And as Thomas Aquinas points out, when we're told to love ourselves, it actually means our bodies as well as our souls. So I try to tie that in. And then finally, in this book, I talk about what's called the intellectual virtues, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Because to do the good, we have to know what is truly good. So I give a lot of emphasis on going through like actual science. How do we evaluate all these studies out there on nutrition and exercise? So in one way or another, I try to incorporate both those moral virtues, the theological virtues, and the intellectual virtues.
We have to take a break in a few minutes, but I want to look at the numbers and just some stats. The average American adult today weighs about 25 pounds more than the average American adult did 40 years ago. According to the CDC, over 73% of American adults are carrying too much weight. 73% of us are just carrying too much weight. And we feel it. When we are carrying too much weight, we feel it, we know it. But in the comorbidities that are associated with that, it's devastating. And so that is the question. Is it diet? Is it lack of exercise? Is it hormones, genetics? Is it the sin of sloth? You assert, at least from what I was reading, that it isn't necessarily one obvious data point. It's like saying, well, an alcoholic is diagnosed as such because they drink too much, but why? Why? And it sounds like it's a very complex answer.
Yeah, it sure is. So like I kind of dig deep on things like gluttony and sloth, defining what exactly we mean by gluttony and what exactly we mean by sloth. It's not, you know, just physical laziness. It really means acedia or a lack of care about the things of God. So I try to show people, you know, if you happen to be overweight, it doesn't necessarily mean you're psychologically flawed or necessarily that you're mired in gluttony or sloth. It could be that the foods that we're eating have physiological impact on us that actually make us hungrier, that make us more tired. So we need to look at these issues from a variety of perspectives, the spiritual, the physical, and the psychological, to really understand them and hopefully to do something positive about them.
And also, really like a lot of things, when we approach what we choose to put in our bodies, and you just touched on it there, there's really unknown panacea here. I mean, you just simply say what we've always known, and that is real food, real food feeds, eat real foods, no ultra processed, no Frankenfoods, you know, that these things should rinse, cook, and eat, those three aspects that it means if we eat real food, then it should be its own ingredient.
That's the ideal. That's right. And some studies have shown in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1999, American teens and adolescents, 61% of their daily food was from processed foods, not real foods. And by 2018, it had risen even higher to 67%. So more than two thirds of what a typical American child or adolescent eats is a kind of food that their great, great grandparents couldn't have eaten because they didn't exist. You know, they manufactured products as opposed to real foods as God made them.
And from a psychologist standpoint, you take us into this principle, though, that we have to remember that we're being played, this principle of intermittent reinforcement that psychologists use or researchers use to get us hooked on certain foods. There's something called mouthfeel. So that feeling of a sensory experience is attached to our cravings. That's by design. When we have that perfect crunch of a chip or the kind of that salt satiation, that's really been manufactured for us. And that's something that we should pay attention to.
Yeah, there's quite a science behind it. You know, they talk about the mouthfeel. A lot of that comes from fat, you know, things we want that will melt in our mouth. They talk about a flavor burst, which often comes from a bliss point, which comes from just the right amount of sugar, and a flavor burst, which often comes from salt. So many of these foods are carefully designed with marketing people, with chemists, with psychologists to appeal to that, to make us eat as much as possible. But unfortunately, often these foods too are lacking in nutrients, so they don't satisfy us. So we need to eat, you know, keep eating more and more to become satisfied.
And it seems like it's working. And I think anytime we stop and take an inventory of, okay, how much did I eat? Looking back at the day and every meal, it's so important to do that. And these things, even though we hear it and know it, are so important to be reiterated and emphasized, we're speaking with Dr. Kevin Vost, author of 20 books, including a soon-to-be-released new title called You Are That Temple, A Catholic Guide to Health and Holiness, Developing Healthy Habits, Avoiding Illness Through Diet and Exercise, Practicing Wellness That Will Foster Brain Health. These are just some of the areas covered in the book. If you would like to connect with Dr. Vost, the number is 1-888-914-9149. And that's the number here, The Cale Clark Show. My name is Brooke Taylor. We'll be right back with more here on Relevant Radio. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hello, let us begin by introducing ourselves. I am Hans.
And I'm Franz.
And we want to pump you up.
You may have to be a certain age to get that, but it is a classic. Hans and Franz just came to mind with today's guest. He is Dr. Kevin Vost, clinical psychologist, member of the Research Review Committee for American Mensa, author of 20 books. His latest title is You Are That Temple, and 400-pound deadlifter, hence the reference there to Hans and Franz. Welcome back to the program. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale today. Do you remember that skit, Kevin?
I love those guys, Hans and Franz. Oh, absolutely.
And they had the classic weightlifter attire too, the gray sweatsuit like Rocky and like with the weight belt.
That's right. You don't see that much anymore. Well, you see the weight belts, but not those gray sweats. But they did it just right. And of course, they're playing off the Rocky and of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's just great, great, great humor. But they kind of came out at a time really when serious strength training was just kind of becoming a vogue. Because when I was in high school in the 70s, I remember once our Catholic newspaper ran a comical story. They said my buddies and I got arrested because we broke into a stone company at night so we could lift their rocks, you know, because so strength training was really kind of rare and odd even into the late 1970s.
It was interesting. I did a bit of a history of the last 100 years of workout trends, everything from hula hoop to jazzercise to Taibo. And of course, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I definitely think that was the rise of the muscles kind of thing. And so yes. It is interesting. But and I want to take a call from Mike. I want to get to fasting before we move on to strength training. That's really important. But Mike is on the line from Nevada, and I think he brings up a really good point. Mike, you're on with Dr. Kevin Vost.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Mike.
Dr. Hello, Vost, I love your stuff. I'm in the fitness industry myself and strength coach, et cetera, and really, really love your stuff. And my question for you is, the vast majority of the general public, the general population, they're very utilitarian motivated. You know, their intent for fitness and wellness and strength and conditioning, et cetera, it's just really utilitarian. So how do you connect the dots or bridge the gap to the beautiful transcendent ideas that as Catholics we can bring to the fitness and wellness, you know, industry and as coaches and trainers, et cetera? How do you connect those dots?
Yeah, that's a great and very important question, Mike, because I know sometimes people have the idea, the false idea, the Catholic Church is kind of down on the body, you know, as if we were Puritans or thought it's all just a matter of spirit, you know, where we've always taught, no, we're in soul bodies and we're going to have bodies in eternity someday. So the church is all for the proper care of the body. But yes, so often most people in the gym, it is utilitarian. They want to look better or feel better, or their doctors told them they need to because they're pre-diabetic or diabetic or have hypertension, you know, and so on. One of the things I try to do in my book is, you know, kind of borrowing from Pope St. John Paul II and his theology of of the body. I sometimes call it, loosely speaking, a theology of bodybuilding, that we recognize that we're going to take care of our bodies, not just so people say, wow, look at how, ripped that guy is, but to show God that we're being proper stewards of the bodies that he gave for us. So in a sense, we're trying to glorify that our body as a temple to the Holy Spirit. So we're doing it for the glory of God, ideally, at least that's the goal there. And I often sometimes use too the term, we're going to try to make ourselves dynamos of charity. We're going to try to make ourselves stronger, more energetic, so we can do good work, so we can help our elderly aunt carry that, sofa, help her rearrange her room or whatever it is. So we can do it both to honor God and to better serve our neighbors.
Thank you, Mike. I think that's a great response, Kevin. And, it's from a woman's perspective a little bit different because, of course, you have the modesty standpoint as well. And as a marathon runner myself and someone who very much believes in strength training, especially as a white woman, because that's the statistic that I will probably get osteoporosis. My mother, my grandmother, all of my aunts have. And that is just something that as Caucasian women that we have a predisposition to. And so strength training is so important, but also the idea of examining our conscience as women when it comes to things we wear, because the fitness industry is really not very complimentary of those who want to protect their modesty. I mean, we really see, particularly today, and for young girls, whether it's in volleyball or even in running. And I have found that, and this is a totally perhaps different topic for a different day and a different show, but it is something that I talk about with my friends and, because there isn't a lot out there that really offers guidance except for trying to be as virtuous as possible. And that goes back to what you talk about, really conforming ourselves to the mind of the church and living virtuously.
Yeah, exactly. And it is a complicated issue too. When you talk about the fitness attire, yeah, absolutely. They're so often selling you super, super skin tight outfits and so on. And especially, women may not have intention whatsoever of right. arousing men's lust, but often the way men's minds work, that happens. I know there's similar, talk even about the proper attire in mass and so forth. So there are those things we, should take into consideration. If we're training in a gym, our goal shouldn't be to make sure people can see how our bodies look. So I recommend for men as well as women, though, if you train your body, it's going to look better. But, unless you're a professional bodybuilder or a model, I try to focus more on improving function over form.
Right.
Especially like for a young mom. Hey, I have energy now, or I'm strong enough to pick up my kids or carry an extra bag of groceries. So I think that's, I try to make that the main focus. How you feel and what you can do, with how you look being more of a side effect that shouldn't be the main goal for most of us.
Right. And from everything from brain health to preserving the quality of our life the longer that we live. And you do touch that on that, especially with regards to strength. Before we get to that, though, I really want to touch on the fasting, because intermittent fasting is really big right now, but I think for good reason. And you have some positive things to say about that. Can you touch on that aspect?
Sure, sure. I have a chapter where I talk about that. And I will say, Jay Richards, a great Catholic writer, did a book, what's it called? Eat, Feast, Fast, I think is what it is. So I borrowed a lot from his ideas. But yeah, I remember even a few years ago, I'm in the gym on a Friday morning working out with my 20-something-year-old lifting partner. Some other 20-year-old comes in and works out with us. And he tells us he's lifting fast. He hasn't had any breakfast or even a protein shake. And I thought he's kind of nuts. You're going to waste away all that muscle, that you've worked so hard to build. Well, a few years later, here I am working out in a fasted state on most mornings, because I realized, both the physical and the spiritual value of fasting. Physically, myself, a phenomenon people tend to find when they move more towards real foods, and with the right kind of real foods that will tend to boost your protein and boost your fat, possibly decrease your carbohydrates. When people do that, they tend to be more satisfied and less hungry. So it becomes easier to get busy and, whoops, I forgot to eat lunch, right? Because I'm not hungry. So oftentimes people will move towards maybe eating just twice a day, which actually myself, I moved to that about 2 months ago. During these summer months, I don't even eat lunch. I make sure I have a very substantial breakfast and supper. But there's a variety of ways of doing this. Some people will take, you know, entire days without food, you know, again, various periods of time. And it can have, you know, of course, powerful spiritual effects. You know, we've known that, you know, Jesus himself is, you know, of course, fasted extensively, but also very positive physical effects. And especially, it helps so many people today have either diabetes or pre-diabetes. They're on their way. Their blood sugar is getting pretty high. And this intermittent fasting is a nice way to bring that under control so our bodies aren't constantly getting this influx of sugar, which makes our pancreas constantly try to kick out insulin. So there's a variety of physical, spiritual, and even cognitive. Some people report they tend to be mentally sharper when they're eating less often. So there's just much to be said about a careful, judicious use of fasting or time-restricted eating.
I want to touch on your qualifications too, as we talk about this, because from the standpoint of a clinician, a clinical psychologist, you specialize in neuropsychology and the psychology of aging, but also you're a lifelong fitness enthusiast and have your own contributions to the field, a revert to the faith, but also a disclaimer, you're not a medical doctor, but I think what you've done so expertly in this book is really annotate every study along the way. And also that we have to be wary of the scientific studies and look at who is funding it and to allow science to illuminate us, but not have it be the thing that, I mean, it's just something else that can help inform us essentially.
Absolutely. One of my favorite saints, only one I've written an entire biography on, was St. Albert the Great, and he's the patron saint of scientists. So I am all for science, but we do have to be very, very careful how we interpret it. And we have just to realize the reality. Studies require funding, and often it's producers of big food companies or big pharmaceutical companies that support some of this research. And sadly, sometimes if the results don't come out in the desired direction, they never get published. They'll be refused for publication, or sometimes the researchers themselves won't even submit a paper if the results are kind of contrary to the current thinking. So it can be a bit of a tangled web there. And I will say too, yeah, in my book, I always advise people, always go to your own healthcare professionals. You know, what I'm telling you is not a substitute for that. But another interesting aspect of this book is, it occurred to me. Now, you know, I was trained as a psychologist and I taught at school and I've always been interested in weightlifting and was a competitor and so on. But actually, my day job for 32 years was in the adjudication of mental and physical disability cases for the Social Security Administration as the adjudicator who makes the decision and later as a supervisor and later as a person who trained the people who trained the adjudicators. So from 1984 to 2016, I reviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of people's medical records every year to make these disability determinations. And I was there kind of right during the time we saw the skyrocketing of conditions like obesity, diabetes mellitus, and a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and some other associated problems that are just really pandemic levels today.
And I was so glad that you included that in your book as well. I know I had sent you a personal message because our daughter has special needs. And just in the disability community, there are amazing advocates and so many people doing heroic things. But oftentimes, I do feel frustrated. If you've ever had a diagnosis that they're just not a lot out there to help, you know, you really learn to be on mm-hmm. your knees a lot and to pray as a parent for guidance and clarity. But diet is something, as you mentioned, when it's real food, rinse, cook, and eat, it's maybe just the simplest, meats, chicken, fish, eggs, cheese. For her condition, she does so much better. And she has a penchant for, she likes soda and she likes sugar. And reading your book, it reminded me again that those psychological triggers are built in. And those who are caregivers, you know, just the important gravity of making sure that those that we're caring for are eating as best they can be, because she will have maladaptive behaviors, just like any parent notices a toddler when they're on the sugar high at a birthday mm-hmm. party. Mm-hmm. And you know that it's not good for their brain, it's not good for their body and their heart. And we just have such an overabundance of it that I just don't think we always see it. So that's really important. And thank you for that work in that chapter.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, the recognizing, you know, that, like I say, you know, to take care of your body doesn't mean you're going to be a Mr. Universe. And me being a bodybuilder, actually, there are two Mr. Universes featured in the book. But I try to make the point that every person's body is a temple, regardless what it looks like, regardless of physical deformities, regardless of possible mental impairments. And we all need to do what we can to take care of them, and as parents, to help our children thrive. So yeah, when it comes to things like sodas and candies and so forth, you know, we used to call them treats. And I think if we have that idea in mind, that they're treats, they're a special occasion, a special event where you're given a limited measure, you know, that's fine. But we do have to be careful with what our children are taking into their bodies every single day in large quantities, because it becomes, you know, kind of psychological and entwined with the physiological. It's psychological, satisfying, you know, it tastes good. But a diet too heavy in that can create, you know, physiological dependencies where you're craving more and more. Whereas if you did switch to gradually to more and more real foods, you're going to tend to be more satisfied, and the cravings for those processed foods tends to diminish.
We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of that, some recommendations of what natural foods do help crave those cravings and just overall elevate what we're eating and feeding our body. Speaking with Dr. Kevin Vost, author of the soon-to-be-released book, You Are That Temple, A Catholic Guide to Health and Holiness. And also want to ask about keeping track of workouts since 1982. As a psychologist, there must be something to that. So we're going to get into that right after the break. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Kale on the Kale Clark Show. If you want to call, if you have a question, Dr. Vost is here. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call here on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Kale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Do you have 20 minutes? Believe it or not, that is enough time to make your will, and it's important. Relevant Radio partner Free Will has made it easy, and it is absolutely free. Make your will today. Go to relevantradio.com/freewill. That's relevantradio.com/freewill. Welcome back to the program. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Kale on the Kale Clark Show. I'll be here today, and I'll be with you tomorrow as well. Speaking now with Dr. Kevin Vost, author of 20 books, including a soon-to-be-released new title called You Are That Temple, A Catholic Guide to Health and Holiness. And we've been talking about fasting, about nutrition, and Kevin, I want to get to strength. The chapters really intrigue me about strength, because losing muscle is a reality. It's a natural part of the aging process, but this has been on my radar for a long time, as I had mentioned earlier about osteoporosis, and just many women impacted by that. Research shows that when we strength train, so many issues can be mitigated or eliminated altogether. But I think for a lot of people, they picture Hans and Franz in, you know, these, you know, big muscles with these, you know, bulging quads or whatever, and they're intimidated by the prospect of weight training. So could you maybe debunk that a little bit and offer why it's so important for everyone?
Sure. Because yes, for men and especially for women in terms of osteoporosis, because, you know, bones are thinner by nature, strength training can help us maintain that muscle, which is like the key to other signs of health and longevity. Because muscles are the body's engine. So if we can keep them big and strong, the other physical parameters tend to fall in line with those. So it's very, very important. I mean, the ideal is that we take up a strength training early in life and then continue it. But even people who undertake strength training, if they're doing it safely, the proper methods, research has shown men and women, you know, even in their 80s, the muscles can still respond. If the joints are able to handle the proper motions, the muscles can still grow even later in life and make us much less likely to fall and hurt ourselves. And as we strengthen our muscles, bone also tends to strengthen. And nutritionally, also the research has shown that as we get older, we tend to develop what they call an anabolic resistance. We tend to become less resistant to the effects of protein. So when we're older, we may want to increase our protein. But protein, of course, is the primary component in muscle. But bone is also about 50% protein. So as we're getting older, if we're making sure we're getting plenty of protein and we're also doing appropriate strength training, it's going to help us in terms of our muscles and our bones. And it's going to have carryover into virtually all the other body systems. So that's one of my main focuses. I did look at the very recent research on what happens as we age and what are some of the best ways to help keep us healthy and functional while we age. And two of those do tend to be strength training and adequate protein intake.
So not just, okay, I have to rehab this part of my body, I had knee surgery, but really just to maintain. And I think for ladies too, it's important to note that it's very difficult to bulk up once you get past a certain age. Yes. And so if there's a fear of, oh no, if I start lifting weights, I'm going to look like a guy, that won't happen. It really is just to protect your ligaments, your bones, your joints, and to protect you from injury.
Oh, exactly. And I will say too, like one of these methods I discuss in the book is called high intensity training. And one version is called super slow, where you're doing your repetitions on a machine or with a barbell or dumbbell. As long as like taking 10 seconds to raise it, 5 or 10 seconds to lower it, like it's slow motion. And this was actually pioneered for elderly women with osteoporosis as being an especially safe way of training your muscles without trauma on the bones. And I talk about this other biomechanical, a new approach to training involving cable machines and dumbbells that are very, very joint friendly. So as long as a person is getting proper instruction, and as long as they have the okay from their doctor, there are ways to train the body. And real strength can be achieved in as little as one workout a week, literally less than a half an hour. I've done it myself during many busy periods of my life. So it's not, you don't have to be like Hans and Franz and spend your life in the gym. Even 1 half-hour session per week can make a real difference.
I think it goes for everything. Every prayer we say, every mass we go to, every time we get our steps in, every time we get a push-up in, nothing is in vain. God uses it all in his grand design. And that's so important, again, because of the intimidation factor. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy to work out 3 days or 5 or 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. But as you said, it might only be one time and it makes a difference. I want to take Dee Dee's call. She's on the line. But before we move on, you just were talking about kind of reps and sets and the different machines. You advocate something that's kind of a 5 sets of 5 type of thing. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I have 3 chapters on strength training. One is kind of the traditional barbell based training. And for there, people will typically do 5 sets of 5 reps. You ideally, you start with the light weight as a warm up and you gradually get heavier until you do a last set where you do 5 and that's about all you can do. And then gradually over time, you try to increase how much weight you use on just a handful of basic pushing and pulling and squatting exercises. And let's talk about a method called high intensity training, where here you may, after a warm up, do only 1 set, but it's almost near capacity. And then you just move on and you try to do another repetition or do a little bit more weight next time. So the methods are pretty simple and straightforward. And if you use that super slow method, you may do as few as even 3 repetitions per set, because each repetition might take you 15 or 20 seconds to do.
That's good. I want to take Dee Dee. She is waiting to speak to you from a very sunny, hot Arizona. Are you there, Dee Dee?
Dr. Bost.
Yes.
Is it B-O-S-T or B-O-S-T?
It's V like Victor, or as my cousin says, V like virus, unfortunately.
Okay, so it's V as Victor, O-S-T.
That's right.
Oh, okay, thank you. Well, you know what? Where have you been? Is my first reaction.
And pardon?
But my question is, where have you been? Okay.
Waiting for you to hear this show, I guess. Go ahead.
I guess so. Yes. Dr. Bose, this is my question. What do you think about Romans 12? His philosophy is the same as yours, Romans 12. And he says, and that's verse 1, Romans 12, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God.
Absolutely. Yeah, St. Paul, he nails it all. Yeah, the same St. Paul who told us in Corinthians our bodies are a temple, he's telling us present our bodies as a sacrifice. Yeah, and proper care for our body involves sacrifice. Exercise can be uncomfortable. Restraining our diets can be in some measures uncomfortable. So no, that's precisely right. God gave us our bodies as a great gift, and we can offer them back to him as a sacrifice. And that would include being proper stewards of them.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Before we wrap up here, Dr. Vosen, there's so much we didn't get to. I wanted to get to your actual schedule because I know you've had a bit of a transformation in your own life and what's worked for you, that you've been recording your workouts basically since 1982. So I want to ask you about that, because are there psychological hacks? A lot of these things, if we have the knowledge, we can do it, but it's maybe not necessarily our body, it's our mind where we get stuck, where we just think, I am overwhelmed. I don't have the time to get the workouts in. I missed today. I've got other priorities. I don't have the luxury to afford all organic food. You really, in a very practical way, walk us through, just again, it's the little way, it's small things. So maybe if you could share what has worked for you and how you order your day.
Sure, sure. In my workouts over the years, I've done mostly what they call this high intensity training. So it's very, very brief and infrequent for strength training. At times I would do as little as once a week. Now I'm retired. I've been retired for 5 years, except for writing and speaking and so on. So my own current routine right now, because I enjoy training, early in the morning, I do lift weights Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I ride an exercise bike Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I take some 2-mile walks several times a week. And on Sundays, my 35-year-old son and a friend of his come over, and we do these things called farmer's walks. We load up these heavy bars, and you walk back and forth across the lawn. It's kind of a cardio and strength training fix. But over the years, my training has varied. I've always trained since I was a kid. But for me, the main transformation recently was when I changed my diet about a year and a half ago to eliminate those fake foods and eat more real foods. Because a person can be very strong and very enduring and still not ideally healthful. So you have to do more than just exercise for strength or endurance. You really do need to feed your body properly. And when people do that and put it all together, that's where you're going to find a difference. And for me, when I corrected my diet, my blood pressure dropped, my waistline decreased by 6 inches, my aches and pains went away. So ideally, yes, we're going to be doing it all. We're going to be doing exercise that's sensible for us, that we enjoy, and eating in a sensible way that will make us feel good and make us, you know, even more grateful to God for giving us these wonderful bodies.
And you hear that a lot too, Dr. Vost, with functional medicine, that they'll say, you know, what you're eating really could be causing inflammation. So when you talk about just not feeling good, sluggish, there could be inflammation where you are achy and sore and all of that. We do have an off-air question from Sergio recommending possibly an exercise for someone who's diabetic.
Well, yeah, yes, for diabetic. And in my book, I do have a big sections there on diabetes, very, very important. But there, you know, one thing, you know, your muscles store so much glycogen that come from sugar. When you exercise, you know, you're using some of that. So there may not be as much in your bloodstream. But also strength training tends to be the most important thing. I do highlight a book by a physician that he has a program of exercise that focuses on strength training for treating diabetes. Because, again, the muscles store a lot of the sugars. And also, you know, when our muscles are larger and stronger, your body's going to be in a better position to deal with those sugars. But I would say, too, you know, it's going to go hand in hand with proper diet, which might include reducing carbohydrates and sugars and might possibly incorporate some time-restricted eating or fasting as well. But just in terms of exercise, I'd say do some form of strength training, you know, at least once a week, maybe ideally 2 or 3 times.
Thank you for your time. I know we easily could have gone another hour and so much to get to. And the book is on pre-order. Is it available for pre-order at this time?
Yes, it is. Yes, through Sophia Institute Press at sophiainstitute.com.
And again, it's called You Are That Temple. You have already helped so many souls just commit their faith to memory. And your previous books also motivating us, and now physically this one. So just keep it coming, the bicep curls and the books. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brooke. It's been my pleasure. God bless.
God bless you, Dr. Vost. So grateful for his time. So many takeaways from that conversation, and that our Lord calls us to greatness, and that takes work. You know, you think about the things in life, the most important things in our life, they need to be cultivated and labored over. Our marriages take work. Our relationships, the precious metals, they don't just lie on top of the earth. We have to dig deep to uncover the diamonds and the gold and all the jewels that are submerged below the surface. And the same thing when you look at even a pineapple or a coconut, it's work to get to it. And so it goes. And the greatest work of our life is our faith. And we know that is a daily, hourly practice. And so Kevin reminds us, our blessed Lord gave us the miracle of our bodies and to make him known and glorified God. And that takes work. So it's okay, but that is what we were made for. And there's glory in that. And it, everything we do builds on something. I love that he emphasized and reminded us of that. And that goes back to the theme of the very beginning of the show and the opening today of the words of the angel Gabriel at the Annunciation, for nothing is impossible for God. Again, the name of the book is You Are That Temple, available for pre-order. Thank you to my guest today, Dr. Kevin Vost. My name is Brooke Taylor. I will be with you again tomorrow. And filling in for Kale, we are going to continue on that theme of nothing is impossible for God with the guest, Deborah Tice, her son Austin Tice, freelance journalist, missing in Syria since 2012. She will be with us to tell us how we can pray and hopefully, by God's grace, bring him home. And also Dr. Patrick Castle, founder of Life Runners, with us tomorrow. Trending with Timory is up next here on Relevant Radio. Thank you to producer Jim Schraper and Patrick Alog. Again, my name is Brooke Taylor. And we just entrust ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Queen of the Rosary, Ora Pro Nobis. God bless you. And we will see you tomorrow here on the Kale Clark Show. My name is Brooke Taylor.